So as was shared earlier, we are on the new morning revival, which we've touched upon before. We covered week one. Title is Material Offerings and the Lord's Move Today.
Amen.
We covered week one this week, and we're going to cover week two following week, and then we will move forward with the Thanksgiving conference. And some of you may not have this with you, so if those who have it, please be aware of, you know, maybe you can look around, see if he doesn't have a copy, maybe you can sit close to them so you can share your morning Bible with them. Also, as we do every week, every Lord's Day, every prophesying meeting, if I may ask a couple of volunteers, two or three saints, to volunteer to stand up and prophesy right after I'm done, so the flow will continue.
Amen.
If you want to identify yourself now, that would be great. One or two? Amen.
Or three.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Sai. Anyone else? Amen. Well, saints, this week we saw how mammon, also known as money, is considered to be an idol. And in fact, in day one, we see that the Bible classifies men in two categories, those who serve God and those who serve mammon. So, simply because mammon and God are in opposite sides. And what is an idol? Idol is an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. Which means those who are serving mammon or pursuing mammon are simply worshiping mammon. And if mammon is an idol, then we need to be saved from it. We need to be delivered from it. In fact, we see in day two that the deliverance from mammon is a salvation. It's part of our salvation. So part of us being saved is to be delivered from mammon. And in Matthew 6:24, the Lord tells us that no one can have two masters, right? For either you will hate one and love the other, or you will hold on to one and despise the other.
Amen.
So you cannot serve God and man. So we can come to day two and read those two verses together, Luke 18:24 and Luke 18:25. 18:24 in day two, it starts with the second part of the verse. And Jesus seeing that how difficult it is for those who... So we can read those two verses together.
Amen.
Amen. How difficult it is for those who have riches to go into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it is not sin to be wealthy or to have riches or to be rich. That is not the point, right? Because money is used for practical needs, to, you know, for the practical needs of living. So we're not talking about money itself being a sin. But what is being mentioned here is Lord Jesus. That the root of all evil, the Bible tells us, is money, is mammon, right? I will touch upon that. Let's come to day six, 1 Timothy 6:10, having mentioned that. Let me read 6:9, and then we can all read together 6:10. 6:9 reads, "But those who intend to be rich fall into the temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge man into destruction and ruin. So now let's read 6:10 together.
For the love of money is the root of all evils, because of which some, aspiring
it's very popular among both Christians and secular. The root of all evil is money. And, as I was corrected, but I did that on purpose, is that a lot of people in the world that are on the information that the root of all evil is money. But the verse clearly says that it's the love of money, right? It's the love of money.
Amen.
It's what drives us, is as our aspiration or craving to go after the money that is evil here. So it's the intent that matters here. Because anything that gets in the way of us pursuing the Lord, gaining the Lord, right, becomes a problem for us to enter into the kingdom, right? In fact, our endeavor in our Christian life is to be rich in Christ.
Amen.
Right? We need to pursue the Lord in order to be rich in Christ.
Amen.
If we forsake Christ in order to gain riches, right? If we forsake anything that does not allow us to pursue the Lord in order to gain Him, in order for Him to gain us, then the Bible clearly tells us that it is impossible for such a person to enter into the kingdom of God. And for this, saints, for this we need to have a proper attitude, right? We need to have a proper heart. For this we need to have a proper view, a vision of God's economy. And also we need to have a proper view, a vision of the Lord's move on the earth, right? And eventually we will see, and I'll stop here, that even for us to gain more riches or more wealth is so that we can give more to the church, right? More to the Lord through the church.
Amen.
Amen. So I'll leave it up to you to complete this message. This was fresh and new to me because I had never gone through this material before. So I rely on you to enrich me with your prophecy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I appreciate that at the very beginning of the year, we can have a way to be recalibrated.
Amen.
So we have a fresh start, and we touch on this matter of material offerings because it's not about the material offering, but it's really about our heart.
Yeah.
Is our heart for the Lord? Is it for something else?
Amen.
So like our brother shared, you know, it's either you love God or you love something else.
Right.
And in many ways, this could be summed up in mammon, which is money, which is our love for something else other than God. And so when the children of Israel were passing, when they were exiting Egypt in Exodus 12:36, you know, it says that they asked for, So it says that Jehovah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked.
Amen.
Thus they plundered the Egyptians.
Amen.
And there's a really good footnote under plundered. And it says this. This was read towards the end. It says, the silver, gold, and clothing given to the children of Israel by the Egyptians were used not for the enrichment of God's people, but for the building of the tabernacle.
Amen.
To plunder the world is not to take anything from the world unrighteously.
Right.
It is to labor in the world and use the gain from our labor for the building of God's dwelling place, God's testimony on earth.
Amen.
So if we're to be these people who use this enrichment from our labor in the world, right, using the gain from our labor for the building up of God's dwelling place and for His testimony, that means we don't care for it. That means we're not hoarding it. We're not saving it for ourselves.
Amen.
But we would offer up everything to the Lord.
Amen.
On the one hand, we may think, well, I can offer up something that doesn't matter to me very easily. Right? If I were to ask Jeremiah to give up some of his toys, I think he would be able to give up a lot of his toys. But if I ask him to give up, you know, kitchen set, which he really loves, it'd be very hard for him to give that up. So this is what the Lord wants to touch us with.
Amen.
As we're coming into the fresh new year.
Amen.
Where we have left the old year behind.
Amen.
So the Lord is recalibrating us to see that this matter of material offering has really nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with our heart.
Amen.
And as I was reading Philippians last night, I saw that, you know, chapter 4, it's about having Christ as the secret of sufficiency. Right? Christ is our sufficiency.
Amen.
But then Paul writes this to the Thessalonians. It says that, for even in Thessalonica, you sent both once and again to my need. I'm sorry, this is to the Philippians for Thessalonica. You sent both once and again to my need. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account.
Amen.
Right? But I have received in full all things and abound.
Amen.
I have been filled, receiving from Epaphroditus the things from you.
Amen.
This is the material offering.
Amen.
A sweet smelling savor.
Amen.
An acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God.
Amen.
So really the secret to our sufficiency in Christ is to love Christ.
Amen.
To give up these material things.
Amen.
To give up this mammon.
Amen.
Anything that replaces the Lord in our heart.
Amen.
In Luke 18 and 19, we have the story of two rich men. And considering that, I came to one verse that summarizes the whole thing. This is Luke 18, 27. The Lord said, "The things that are impossible with man are possible with God."
I enjoy that. It's the same part where you have the contrast of the young ruler. It says the young ruler is an example of what is impossible with men, and Zacchaeus is an example of what is possible with God. So the young man, he just couldn't give up all his riches. He was a very rich, wealthy young man. And Zacchaeus was wealthy. He was a tax collector.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that, you know, the young man was just coming to Jesus. He knew this was a prophet of God. He had something. He wanted to get something from Jesus to enrich himself, for himself, to get into his world, you know. But Zacchaeus just loved the Lord. He wanted Jesus, you know. Zacchaeus was willing to give up his riches, right, in a righteous way, because his heart was for Jesus. Right? But the young man just wanted to get something from Jesus.
Yeah.
He wanted to get some knowledge to make himself better, a better person for himself. So his focus was on himself, but Zacchaeus was on Jesus.
Amen.
He wanted to
see
Jesus. He climbed up in that tree, "Where's Jesus?" And he was looking, you know, and then Jesus says, "Come down, Zacchaeus." And so when Jesus accepted him, he was just happy. He just gave his riches away because he loved the Lord.
Amen.
So it's really a matter of our heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Like Hendrick said, this was really new to me, although I've been in this before. But I appreciate, after coming out of this training, on the matter of what the first thing is, that you would love Jehovah.
Amen.
And then talking about tearing down the high places. And of course, the high places were used for idol worship. And I feel what we're touching this week is a high place.
Amen.
And so I just really appreciate it here. He says, being delivered from them is part of our full salvation.
Amen.
Amen. So it says, we must, and I enjoy this, we must deal with mammon in an absolute way. And so, isn't this awesome? It is part of our pathway of revival.
Amen.
Well, let's say this together.
Right.
It is part of our pathway of revival.
Amen.
Wow, I just thought that was awesome. And I appreciate, too, that it's God wants all.
Amen.
He doesn't want part. He doesn't want the best part. He wants all.
Amen.
And so we can't do it. But I really appreciated Luke 18 and 19.
Amen.
It said, so in Luke 18, you have some who are delivered, like Mark shared. You have the disciples were delivered, right? Peter. And you have Zacchaeus who was delivered. And so like Don said, with, with man it's impossible. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
But what I appreciate was the order it says, so the wealthy ruler, he couldn't, he turned away. So I just appreciate it. It's not too much to ask the Lord for his mercy and grace to give all.
Amen.
And I thought it was amazing. After talking about, you know, Zacchaeus, the 12 disciples, and then it goes on, it says, you know what's after that? The parable of the talents. And there it's a matter of being faithful with what's not yours, with what's God's possession. And what he calls it, what he gives them is he gives them money. So I thought, you know, it's just a carrying on. So I just touched, you know, it's not ours. It's God's possession.
Amen.
And so we want to be faithful with what's his.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Just a little bit, but I want to share. I was also impressed with Luke 18 and 19, where so much of the salvation was about giving up the mammon and doing the restitution.
Right.
I don't think I saw that before.
Yeah.
And then in Exodus, just like the brothers were sharing, before they built the tabernacle, Moses asked the assembly to bring what they had, and it was whoever had a willing heart. And what did they bring? I'm not exactly sure how to do this, but it was gold, silver, and bronze. And then the next verse said blue and purple and scarlet strands, fine linen, gold's hair, and then you have the ram skins and the porpoise skins. So I don't know which ones they took out of Egypt, which ones, where they got what, but all the things for the tabernacle are from the saints.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, it's from the saints.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord. I was looking at the Ministry Digest. I forgot to get the next volume. So someone picked it up for me, and it says, you know, terminating the past. And, you know, it was sharing some practical things about the restitution. One was saying, if you stole $10,000, you know, what was it? Zacchaeus restored four times, right? You might not even have $1,000 now to restore. But then it talked about how to deal with that, so you wouldn't become stumbled and you could go on with the Lord. So there's a lot of practical things, you know, even, it's really amazing what's in here. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 You know, I'm really impressed. I've actually gone through this book several times before, and I read through it again most of it. And I'm really impressed about the impossibility.
Amen.
Like John Don was saying. In Luke 18, you have the rich young ruler, and then Luke 19 begins, and it says, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was rich.
Yeah.
In other words, you want to, the Lord wanted to impress the fact that here's the contrast between these two men.
Right.
And the difference was, the young ruler, he probably couldn't have gotten saved, but he didn't stick around.
That's it.
Right.
If he would have just stuck around, he would have heard the rest of the message.
That's right.
And the rest of the message was, with men, it is impossible.
Yeah.
With God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
So we just stay around.
And so that's the same way with us. If we're with the Lord and the Lord says, you need to sell all, then we just have to say, you don't walk away. You say, I can't do this.
Right.
Just like Paul says, you know, Romans 7, this is what it's all about. This is what Romans 7 is all about. It's about covetousness.
Right.
Paul says, I can do everything else, but I can't do this one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop coveting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Ecclesiastes 10:19 says, money is the answer to everything. Okay? It says that. And it's true. You can do anything if you have money.
Yeah.
Anything. Money will buy, it will buy people. It will buy anything you want. All that stuff. That's why everybody loves it. Because, you know, you can worship this, you can worship that. But forget about all those other things. If you have money, you can worship anything. So it's the top worship.
Yeah.
So that's why the Lord said, it's either this way or that way. And you know, what was really impressive me one time is a brother said, you know, what do you think the Lord wants? Does he want your money or does he want your heart?
Right.
And my heart.
Most of us would say, he wants my heart. But actually, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible says, where your treasure is, there's your heart.
Yeah.
So you can say, Lord, I give my heart to you, but I want to keep my money. So, but my heart is attached to my wallet.
Right.
So that's how it works. So, and it, actually, it's not a matter of growth in life.
Right.
It's not a matter of you wait until you, look at Acts.
Right.
In Acts, those people were all new ones.
Yeah.
And they burned all those things
that
came out to be worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
If you take one piece of silver as being a day's wage and multiply it by, say, $200 a month, you're talking about maybe $5 million worth of stuff was up in smoke. These people had this dynamic salvation to do this.
Amen.
So it means this is not something we wait until we die or we wait until much later on when we're able to do all these things. These are the things that the Lord can operate in a new believer.
Amen.
And all of us. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I am impressed to the uttermost how much we need to be sanctified.
Amen.
And not part of our sanctification is having our money sanctified.
Amen.
And how do we sanctify our money? By giving it to the Lord.
Amen.
It belongs to Him anyway.
Amen.
It came from Him in the first place.
Amen.
My wife and I made a purchase this week that we didn't need. That was very expensive. And as I was paying for it, I could see the Lord shaking His head, rolling His eyes, and I was struck, and I knew this was wrong, but there I had already paid for it. So as soon as we got it home, it's, we have to take this back. And it hasn't been returned yet, and I can testify that every day it sits there, I feel worse. I cannot wait to get it out of my house and back where it belongs, which is with all the other mammon, and not so that I can have my money back.
Right.
No, that's not what it's about. It's about the heart.
Right.
And the only reason I would want the money back would be to give to the Lord.
Amen.
So, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We all have a heart for Him.
Amen.
And I think, you know, these words here are very precious to us because it reminds us what our standing is. And our standing is not just money, which also is a means where we can be reckoned. And being reckoned is through God and with God and in Christ and through Christ. And that's how we return to be reconciled. And I really feel that day five, for example, the money can buy us the human soul, and money can buy us all things. But since God created the earth, and man divided it into pieces so that he could reconcile himself with money, and this is all wrong. The Chinese, in the very early ages, already mentioned that money was just a common good. It wasn't something that was to be aspired to or to, you know, to love this way. But the Bible is even older than the Chinese sayings. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for us to understand that it is wrong for man to view that things come from the side of money, and that the view should be from the side of God.
Amen.
Amen. So praise the Lord. This is a brand new year.
Amen.
And a brand new decade. And we all want to be able to say, Lord, my heart is for you.
Amen.
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 And I'm happy that my daughter is here.
Amen.
We just need to stay with the Lord.
Amen.
this, Mammon is really serious issue on us. This is Mammon opposing everything to God. So we need to be out of there. But I'm struggling with this. The scripture is in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of the heaven.
Amen.
So a long time ago, I didn't understand how to be poor in spirit. But through reading and reading, I find that now the poor in spirit is God in us, you know, and we have to follow Him. So being a spirit, being poor in spirit is voluntary, you know, it's something voluntary to be to our being. That we have to deal with all of those things about Mammon, you know, because it's attractive. And I find it out the Bible says Mammon is against me. It's an idol in us.
Amen.
So I didn't know it was idol in me like Mammon, you know. But in God, He gave me the way to get out of that. So Mammon is an idol. That's what the Bible says. So He's in opposition to all that is God. So in this world, it is not true atheists also. Don't we say, oh, I don't believe in God. It's not true atheism because people follow Mammon. So we need to be really careful in our life, how to follow God and not Mammon. It's kind of, we desire everything, you know. We want to have more things that we have without all the Mammon is in us.
Right.
So praise the Lord that He is warning us about this.
Amen.
Can I say one more thing? I just enjoyed this. All this. The other thing is this matter of the transfer. In other words, that when they were in Egypt, that gold that was on earrings and everything else that belonged to the Egyptians was Egyptian.
Right.
By nature, very dirty. But by taking that and melting it down and making it to the items of the tabernacle, it becomes something sanctified.
Amen.
And so that's in a sense, that's a kind of almost like a miracle that we can take something dirty like money and give it for the Lord's purpose.
Amen.
And then it becomes fellowship.
Amen.
It becomes something sweet.
Amen.
It becomes something enjoyable.
Amen.
And something beneficial.
Amen.
You know, so and one other thing he said, I think in this week one was this matter of, you know, if you have it and you put it, it's your choice. You could put it in the earthly bank account,
yeah,
or you can put it in the heavenly bank account.
Amen.
And the heavenly bank account, you get a lot more interest.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But the principle is that's just the word. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's exactly the point I
wanted
to share. Amen. Okay, this week that we have seen the 5 points of how to deal with our man, being a Christian, our attitude toward man. And we know that, praise the Lord, deliverance from Mammon is a part of our salvation.
Amen.
So the Lord doesn't only forgive us, forgive our sins, and then we receive His eternal life. Much more He accomplished to deliver us from Mammon.
Amen.
That's why even in the Bible we can see how He deals with money, with Mammon. So thank the Lord for these 5 points. This one point that I was so touched is the third point. He said, we have to learn to be rich before the Lord.
Right.
He wants us to sell our all, but He doesn't want us to be in poverty. He wants us to learn to be rich in Him.
Amen.
Jesus, as Christian, we are rich men, depending on the ground upon which stand.
Amen.
Amen. No, you know, it doesn't mean that, oh, we should not be earning, you know, we should not work or earning money. No, and then just, you know, serving the Lord. No, this is not what He meant. You know, we need to earn money, right, in order that we can survive. But when we have the money, when the Lord gives us the money, it depends on our heart, on our interest. Is our interest on ourselves or interest on Him? So this is very important, you know, the Lord showed me this week.
Oh, Jesus, yes. Lord, you gave me a work. Thank the Lord for 30 years. You know, you gave me a work. And within 30 years, there's no scarcity or no excess. No lack and no excess. Lord Jesus, because He knows our necessity. He knows our supply. Amen. So as we have received all this blessing from Him, so what is our stand here? Are we giving back to Him?
Amen.
What is our interest? Is our interest on the earth or on God? So He says that, you know, when we were asked to sell our home, we are not being asked to spend all of our money, but to transfer it from earthly bank to the heavenly bank. Praise the Lord. This is what He meant when we are going to sell all. Yeah, we have the money. So with this money, how are you going to use it? Are you going to use it for yourself or for Himself or for God? So this is the what we call that we have to choose.
Amen.
So if we choose for ourselves, then we will know what will happen to us. Because there will be a discipline, right? You know, I've been reading about Hebrews, you know, with the assistant, the lifestyle minister. There is a warning, you know, about the Lord. If He's not going to discipline us now, in the coming age, we will be disciplined. Because, you know, we are not following His way. But praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we are still on earth. He's showing all of this, His way. That's what our brother has said, that, you know, deliver from Mammon is a pathway of revival.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are in the pathway of His revival.
Amen.
So how do we need to see how we're dealing with the Mammon we have? Well, it is for us or for Him.
Amen.
It's up to us.
Amen.
I was kind of like shepherding of some new students up in Cal Poly. I didn't have much, but I would invite them out for lunch after the Lord's table or during the day, a lunch after a break they had in between classes. And I don't know how, but whatever I gave, the next week I would have more, right? And how it says here, it says, we do not expect to gather much when we sow. We simply let it go when we sow. Nevertheless, it is a fact that we will gather much. And so at first it was kind of nice because I didn't have much and I gave it, and then the next week I had more for some reason. And I was kind of like, in a way, thinking, oh, this is so good. I'm doing this because I want to get more out of it, right? It's like you're putting like an investment, right? But this is also wrong. This is a bad source. Nevertheless, it happens. So what do we do? But hallelujah that there's this word right here in 2 Corinthians that says, he who gathered much had no excess. And so just reading this was just so revealing to me. I mean, whenever so a brother actually told me this, but I never read this by itself like this, but he gave me this verse, and now reading it here really just kind of puts it all together. And so he kind of told me, you know, yes, you reap what you sow, and sometimes it is a lot, and that's just the way that God works, but you can't have any excess, you know, you have to keep giving it all. It's not something, a one-time transaction, and that's it. You're depositing, you're moving the whole bank account. So it's a continual thing. It's maintaining it and upholding it. And so even though you get all this, you still give it up to the Lord. It's not all at once, but it's continually doing it. And I saw myself doing that, and slowly, little by little, I wasn't even worried about how much I made or like how much I have now, how much I gave up. It was just loving and caring for the ones that were there. And that's really when you have that whole bank account moved over.
One thing I enjoyed is that Thessalonians, it says they turn to God, says,
yeah,
from idols to God, say the Lord God. So anyways, in the reading he was saying that when we believe in the Lord, we're saved. You know, we all say amen to that. But do we also say amen that the Lord is going to save us from mammon?
Mm-hmm.
I was on one hand, I looked at it negatively. I said, boy, I love money. I want to see what checkbook balance is when I go home today. But I was so encouraged. He says, we also, the Lord will deliver us from mammon. Just like he saved us from our sin, he will also deliver us from the mammon. To me, it was kind of encouraging because every time I go through the trail, I'm kind of like, this is, you know. Then I got encouraged that the Lord will deliver us from mammon, that our heart will be fully for the Lord and fully for the Lord.
Amen. You know, it is really quite amazing. In every meeting, the Lord will always speak to us if our hearts are open. You know, and I just had no idea that I needed this kind of speaking today. In fact, before we got a few weeks ago, I found out the brothers decided to be in this revival again, to repeat it. And I thought, oh no, why do we have to repeat this? Why do we have to repeat this one again? I usually don't complain about what these kind of decisions, but I did. come on, we already went through this, you know. But hallelujah for God speaking among us, speaking through the ministry. I tell you what, I need the ministry to speak to me. Hallelujah, and he's been speaking. Even this matter, some spoke it, said that part of the pathway to revival is this matter of our love for money. You know, I just feel like, oh Lord, you know I don't love money. I give it all, you know. But actually, there's something that I don't really give it all. You know, and like Mike Mark said, that, what was it, he said, it's either, if he was asked, what's more important to our heart or our money?
Yeah.
And I'd say, oh yeah, my heart, you know, give our heart. But actually, our heart will follow when we give all, right? We just give it all. And that's been my attitude through the years when I first came this way, because, you know, I learned that, you know, in life you got to work hard so you can get all the good things and all the fun things and all the, you know, because the world has, like he said, so much to offer for us to enjoy. But we need to give our all for God's enjoyment.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mean, yeah, I can remember. I mean, it's still in me as when I was starting to mow lawns when I was 12 years old. This is 1958, I think. And I was mowing lawns, and I can remember getting like $20. $20, I can remember laying it all out on my bed. Looking at it. In 1958, $20 was like, that's like $100 now. Right? Isn't it? Something like that. Well, I mean, you know, you could buy a house then for $20,000, which now is $600,000. Anyway, so $20 was a lot of money, and I can remember looking at it going, boom, and I'd stack it up again and put it in my pocket because I couldn't wait to, you know, to go buy this little engine I wanted to buy because I was building a motor scooter, you know. But it was all about make the money so then you can have the fun and, you know, work hard so you can play hard. But I tell you what, we want to work hard for our heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we can give our lives. You know, you even think about our meeting hall, and you know, it was reported to us that we don't have the money to fix the place up. But you know what? Maybe it's because we all just need to give our all.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, and I just need to take the lead to give my all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I enjoyed this portion. 1998 about Zacchaeus. And I really enjoy when the brothers shared in the beginning when we came to the church life. Because we used to, in the denomination, we used to get the 10%. But when we realized when we came to the church life, all our being is for the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not how much we have, or if we are rich or we are poor.
Yeah.
It's where our heart is.
Amen.
One time I have experience, we sold a condominium, and me and my husband, we are talking how much we have to give to the church. And we are dealing because we make some money, not a little money, and we are talking about, wow, how much we have to give to the church. And we're still thinking, it takes like a month to realize. And this portion about Zacchaeus helped us to know what is nothing what we make, because our all money, our job, and everything is belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not our my job, it's belong to Him.
Yeah.
Our money, whatever we make, if it's little,
Amen.
And doesn't matter how much, it's belong to Him.
Amen.
And if we use for the purpose of the Lord,
Amen.
We are rich, because they say over here, only those who are born on earth who can be rich before God.
Amen.
So we are rich no matter how much we have.
Amen.
So in the Lord we are rich because our heart is with the Lord, not with the mammon or the riches that we have. So I enjoy that because it's not what I have, it's what I give to the Lord.
Amen.
I give myself to the
Amen.
Lord. That's the riches I have.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This matter is really so exposing. When it's easy to say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Right.
But then when we check on this matter, it's really practical.
Yeah.
Where your treasure is, there your heart is also.
Amen.
Yeah. But praise the Lord. I started reading The Overcoming Life by Brother Yi. And in Colossians 3:4, Christ our life.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we have a life.
Amen.
This life He even gave, He shed His precious blood for us.
Amen.
That's even more precious than whatever mammon is. This life is in us, and He is able to do it.
Saints, I think we need to conclude here for the to prepare for the love feast. But just in considering this morning revival, you know, I think we all have somewhat the same reaction, right? There's something that gets touched within us that immediately there's a reaction. And I realized that as I was going through the morning revival, I was like, okay, well, where's the practical part? I realize there's something within me, right, as we go through, and I think all of us have this. And so it's a real help that we have these 5 points regarding a believer's attitudes towards mammon in the Bible.
Yeah.
So the word is actually very clear.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it doesn't have, well, maybe, Actually, the Lord's very absolute in His attitude towards mammon.
Yeah.
And what you recognize is, it's because mammon is opposite of God. Actually, if you look at the world system, I was considering just in America, right? We're a rich country, we're a wealthy country, and we have this saying, the American dream, right? Actually, that has to do with being tied to mammon. But actually, it's not just a rich country. You can go to any poor country, and what do they want? They want the American dream, right? They also have a heart and a love for mammon. But as believers, we actually need these 5 points regarding mammon. First, we need to understand that mammon is an idol, right? I think as Christians, you would say, I understand that I shouldn't have a statue in my house where I worship, right? That's quite easy. But what about the things that actually replace that idol because it replaces God in your view, something that you desire? Well, actually, that's what mammon is anything that replaces our heart and our love towards God. And, you know, I just appreciate something in the Word of Bible says, man, it's not a matter of being rich or poor. It's a matter of idolatry.
Amen.
So we just have to recognize that mammon has to deal with the love of our heart.
Yeah.
Our second point, being delivered from mammon is part of our salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's part of our salvation. And I just, this is the part that really touched me. And I'd like to come back to this in a second. And third, it says, we have to learn to be rich before the Lord.
Amen.
He wants us to sell our all, but he does not want us to be in poverty. And I appreciate our young brother's experiences here.
Yeah.
Actually, wouldn't you say that he was richer after he went through his experience of shepherding others with what he had?
Yeah.
Actually, that was a heavenly transfer from mammon into our heavenly bank account.
Amen.
And our brother was richer than he was before.
Amen.
Fourth, the Lord dealt with mammon by ordering it to be given to the poor. That was the Lord's word. You know, give it to the poor.
Yeah.
And we can see, actually, you could give it to the poor outside the church. You can give it to the to those who need in the church. But the principle was to give it away.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what touches us all, right? Yeah. Because all of us want to hold on to something. And point five was, we must uphold and maintain the practice of he who gathered much had no excess.
Amen.
This is not a question of whether a man has sold his all, but what he does after he has sold his all. And it says, we must deal with mammon in an absolute way.
Amen.
Before the Lord, we must continually give away our money. 2 Corinthians 8:15, as it is written, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack.
Amen.
So these are the five principles in the New Testament that is should be a believer's attitude towards money.
Amen.
But how do we do this, right? How do we practice? How can we do this, right? And what Brother Don said is exactly right. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
But Don isn't the one who said that.
Was that?
I didn't say that.
Oh,
I
right.
Said that.
Brother Don. Reference the Lord speaking in the Word in Luke, right? And actually, one thing I really appreciated was I looked at the, I was reading the account in Luke of the young ruler, right? And like our brothers have said and spoke this morning, the young ruler was a rich man. Actually, if you look at that account in Matthew 19, it says that the Lord said, sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in the heavens. And he also said, and follow me. Actually, what happened with the young ruler was he left, and he was sorrowful, and he left the Lord. And you realize that it was in leaving the Lord that he missed the message, right? That it's impossible with him, but it's possible with God. And what I appreciate in about Zacchaeus, right? Here was another rich man. And what did Zacchaeus do that was different than the young ruler? It says, first, it says, and he entered, Luke 19:1, and he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man whose name was called Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Right? He was rich. And he was seeking to see Jesus.
Amen.
He was seeking to see Jesus.
Amen.
And then it talks about him climbing the tree. And the Lord saw him and says, Zacchaeus, come down.
Amen.
But you know what I really enjoyed? He says, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay in your house.
Yeah.
And what did Zacchaeus do? And he hurried and came down and received him,
amen,
rejoicing.
Amen.
Hallelujah, there is a way.
Right.
Zacchaeus, the young man left the Lord's presence,
right,
and didn't follow the Lord.
Right.
Zacchaeus came down and he received the Lord.
Amen.
And there was the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Because what we can't do, the Lord can do.
Amen.
But we need to receive him as our salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Actually, the this is so precious because we all know that we, you know, as we've testified this morning, we recognize that our heart is tied to where our mammon is. But if we take the Bible's way of dealing with mammon, actually, our treasure will be laid up in the heavens.
Amen.
But the only way we can do this is by following him,
amen,
and by receiving him as our salvation.
Amen.
And actually, the church life is really built in that way. You know, and again, I appreciate, you know, the 12 led to the 3,000. the 3,000 led to the 5,000. And it's not because they spoke, but it's because they gave.
Amen.
And they live in this manner. Hallelujah, Lord, in 2020, may we be saved from the love of mammon. Maybe we can have, actually, I did want to read something together, if we could. There's a hymn at the back of this week. If you have it and you can share it, can we just read the last verse together?
Draw and win and fill completely till the cup overflow the brim. What have we to do with idols who have company with him?
Amen. Draw and win and fill completely.
Amen.
Thank you, we've companied with him today.
Amen.
Throughout this whole